Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, we come before you with our fears and frailties and excitements. We invite your power made perfect through both our weaknesses and our joys. We come from a world riven by my conviction that your views make you my enemy, and your certainty that my opinions make me your enemy. We invite the peace of Christ to reweave our fragments into your purposes. We come as persons sometimes privileged, sometimes oppressed. We invite you through your Son Jesus, who proclaims release to captives of too much or too little, to free us. We come before you here at Eastern Mennonite University at the beginning of this new school year, some of us brand new, some of us in the prime of our careers, some of us wearing out. We invite you, our potter, to make art of whatever clay we bring you this year. We come before you now with words and also awareness of how often life's heights and its depths take words from us. When the words flee, we invite your Holy Spirit to intercede with and for us through groans and praises, too deep for words. Dear God, we come before you thankful that it is within you here at Eastern Mennonite University, in the year truly of our Lord, 2012, that we live and move and have our beings. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Welcome, everyone, and Happy New Year. It's great to see so many familiar faces returning, and it's a special joy to welcome new students who are joining our EMU community for the first time. Please join me in giving them a special welcome. The convocation launching a new semester is always a time of joyful hope and expectation. But it's also very likely, whether you are new or returning, whether you are student, faculty, or staff, that most of you are sitting here this morning with a head full of questions and uncertainties about the year ahead. If that's the case for you, I say, terrific, good for you. Because higher education is all about questions and uncertainties. We organize our life together around the asking of questions. Our posture is one of inquiry, and we nurture an attitude of persistent curiosity. Especially if you're a first-year undergraduate, this may be a new experience for you. Unfortunately, our current American system of primary and secondary education focuses far too much attention on mastering sets of facts, preparing students to get high scores on standardized state exams. That's not the focus here at EMU. We're preparing students to serve and lead in a global context. Our task as an institution of higher education is to develop in you, our students, the ability to ask the most important questions and to help you gain the tools you need to address them. If we're doing our job well, you will leave EMU with more questions than when you arrived. And you will take with you a passion for continuing to grapple with life's most important questions. That is what will prepare you to serve and lead. This attitude of curiosity and inquiry, by the way, is also how Jesus taught us to approach the world. Read the gospel stories sometime with this in mind, and notice how many times Jesus began or ended his conversations and encounters with a question. There are three main kinds of questions that must be asked in the course of an EMU education and throughout our lives. The first is what? What questions ask about the basic facts of the case? They're primarily descriptive, and they lead to a better understanding of a circumstance or phenomenon as it exists. The second kind of question is how. How questions ask about the origin and consequences of circumstances or phenomena. They are analytical in their focus, leading to explanations and predictions, or perhaps plans and policies for bringing about change or achieving alternative futures. The third kind of question is why. Why questions are more normative, asking about the value, meaning, and purpose of the circumstance or phenomenon in question. They help us in choosing between the variety of possible futures, and they help us determine which questions are of most significance. For those of you who are students, these three genres of question provide the broad framework for the curriculum in whatever your program of study might be. Introductory courses tend to focus on what questions, uncovering the basic concepts that will allow you to more accurately describe your object of study. Intermediate and advanced courses focus more on how questions, leading you to analyze the causes and consequences of your object of study, and to develop the methods and tools you need to do the analysis. And capstone courses focus most closely on the why questions, helping you to discover the value, meaning, and purpose of your chosen field, and helping you to discern your own calling within it. So if you're sitting here this morning with your mind full of questions, be glad about that. Embrace the uncertainty as an opportunity for growth and learning. As you bump up against particular problems or puzzles this year, take a step back and take a moment to ask what, how, and why. If you ask those questions well and address them effectively, you will no doubt find yourself much closer to a solution to whatever problem you might be facing. Our academic theme for this school year is creativity in the university. All of us as faculty and staff had the opportunity to explore this theme during our fall faculty-staff conference a couple weeks ago. Now we invite you, our students, to join us in our exploration during the coming academic year. The first step in creative thought or action is to ask the right provocative questions and to ask them well. May God bless us all this year as we engage each other in our community of learning, asking the most important questions and addressing them together. Thank you and best wishes for a happy and curiosity-filled new year.
A reading from Luke 10. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love your Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live."
But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan..."
"A Samaritan?"
"While traveling came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them."
"Wait, a Samaritan?"
"Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I'll repay you whatever more you spend.'"
"But don't Jews and Samaritans hate each other?"
"Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?"
He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
Good morning. My name is Becca Longenecker, and I'm the president of the Student Government Association for this fall semester. I'm a second year student here, and I'm from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I'm majoring in English and math.
Hi, I'm Jacob McBull. I'm from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I'm the Student Government Vice President, and I'm studying Peacebuilding and Development. I want to extend a welcome to everyone here. It's so exciting for me to be back in this beautiful, beautiful community, and I'm hoping that you're all excited as well. And returning here, we, as a student government, want to be accountable, want to be accessible, want to be transparent, and want to be a resource for everyone here. We're hoping that you'll take advantage of that and work with us in any capacity you want, whether that be with student government or any of our vibrant and varied clubs on campus. I'm looking forward to seeing all of you around, and welcome, welcome, welcome to EMU.
That said, I'd like to introduce this morning's speaker, EMU President Dr. Lauren Swartzendrober. Lauren became EMU's 8th president in 2004 after serving for 10 years as the president of Heston College. Before working at Heston, Lauren was associate executive secretary for the former Mennonite Board of Education in Elkhart, Indiana for 10 years. Lauren graduated from EMU with a Bachelor of Arts degree in Liberal Arts. After graduating, he worked as an associate director of admissions and a part-time associate campus pastor at his alma mater. He earned a Master's of Divinity degree from Eastern Mennonite Seminary and was ordained to the Christian ministry in 1975. Lauren then pastored Salford Mennonite Church in Harleysville, Pennsylvania for several years. Dr. Swartzendrober completed his Doctor of Ministry degree at Northern Baptist Theological Seminary. His thesis focused on increasing Mennonite parental involvement in the college choice. Currently, Lauren is actively involved with Council of Christian Colleges and Universities, the Council for Independent Colleges in Virginia, and the Virginia College Fund. Lauren is married to Pat Swartzendrober. She currently works as a full-time volunteer for Eastern Mennonite University and serves on several church-wide boards. Lauren and Pat are members of Parkview Mennonite Church and have 4 children, 3 of whom are EMU alumni. Lauren is both approachable and accessible. As an SGA senator last semester, I had the pleasure of sitting down for a meal with him and Pat at their home. I enjoyed listening to Lauren as he shared stories with us and discussed his vision for EMU. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Lauren Swartzendrober.
There are 2 taglines that we often use to describe Eastern Mennonite University, and you've already heard Dr. Niss refer to one of those. EMU educates students to serve and lead in a global context. And a second tagline that we frequently use is, EMU is a Christian university like no other. There's a long list of alumni who embody the first claim daily. I'll not give you all of them. Lima Bowie, 2011 Nobel Peace Laureate, graduate of our Center for Justice and Peace Building, serves and leads in her home country of Liberia and all around the world. And some of us were excited to see her as one of the Olympic flag bearers in London this summer. Eliza Barnhart Burkholder, staff nurse at our local Rockingham Memorial Hospital, graduate of 2009, received the hospital's first Nurse of the Year award in May. And like all of our nursing graduates, Eliza approaches her vocation as a servant leader. Jeanette Nisley is a servant leader in Central America who joins a master's cohort in nursing via Moodle every week. Sharon Swore is the administrator of the Nazareth Village in Israel, located very near the Jesus Trail, which is a major attraction in northern Israel that was largely developed by EMU graduates David Landis and Anna Dinneman. Liza Hebner, graduate of 2007, is leading a very interesting environmental effort in Borneo to stop palm oil producers from taking over the rainforest. Isabel Castillo, 2007 social work graduate, is a national leader in the effort to pass the DREAM Act. Her leadership has been so effective that she was awarded an honorary doctorate by the University of San Francisco in 2011. I can't prove this, but I'm guessing she is the youngest EMU alum to have received an honorary doctorate. The story of the Good Samaritan read for us a few minutes ago reminds us that those who serve most effectively are not typically the most respected among us, nor do they often come from the ranks of those with obvious power. Servant leaders are those who frequently did not seek leadership roles, but act out of deeply held values, which are often then noticed by others. And I've heard stories in this community about young educators in the local school system who say, I was just doing my job as a new teacher, and to my surprise, was asked to take on a leadership role. Someone noticed their attitude of servant leadership. Dr. Mark Peltz, Associate Dean and Director of Career Development at Grinnell College, wrote an essay last May on how liberal arts colleges promote leadership, and he offers several interesting statistics. Just 2.2% of all college students are enrolled in what are typically classified as liberal arts colleges. But these liberal arts schools collectively produce 11% of the chief executive officers of Fortune 500 companies and 12% of the CEOs of the top 400 not-for-profit agencies of the country. And that only counts the leaders who are CEOs, which is only a small segment of all leaders. And of course, not all CEOs are servant leaders, though the concept is certainly gaining traction in some sectors. But the point of his essay is this: graduates of liberal arts colleges are 3 times more likely to be leaders than their percentages would suggest. Several weeks ago, I took the risk to send an email to faculty and staff asking for their help in preparing for this morning. Usually, I get a lot of help from both on and off campus. I invited them to offer illustrations of ways in which EMU is a Christian university like no other. And I was sure that I'd get some interesting responses, and I did. In fact, I received far more responses than I can share this morning. And I have to say that a couple of references to our more notorious graduates weren't quite appropriate for a convocation speech. At one level, claiming to be a university like no other is simplistic, and a claim that every single institution can make. After all, no other university was founded in 1917 in Harrisonburg, Virginia. No other university can claim Philadelphia Phillies catcher Eric Kratz as an alum. And no other university president can claim to have worked out with Kratz in our fitness center. Okay, so I didn't actually work out with him, but we have worked out at the same time, and he does know me. No other seminary can claim Tizzy Walker as one of their graduates. Tizzy is the granddaughter of the famous Von Trapp family of Sound of Music fame, and our own assistant to the president, Twyla Yoder, and Don Yoder, director of seminary admissions, played recorder with her at their seminary baccalaureate service. So in responses to my request from faculty and staff, I received several conversations or comments about ways in which EMU is like no other. One staff member shared this: no other university has so many sacred spaces. The Peace Pole, the Fountain, the Garden, Martin Chapel, the Labyrinth, Parkwood's Cabin, Mark Sowen's office. No other university, out of necessity, practically insists that each person leave an extra 10 minutes early in order to reach their destination on time. That has nothing to do with geography or mileage. It has to do with the fact that invariably we each run into others that we are connected to along the way and have to stop to say a few words. No other university serves lattes from what was once the visiting team's locker room. Now, you don't really want to dwell on that fact very long. And this person said, I can't actually verify that's the case, but he said, I'm willing to place a bet on it, and I'm willing to bet no one is willing to do the research to verify if it's true or not. And no other university makes it nearly impossible to go for a week without an ice cream social of some sort. Here's another claim that cannot be confirmed with certainty. But EMU is rare in offering free use of washers and dryers for all residential students. Now, I can tell you that was not true in my student days. And there was one guy across the hall in Maplewood who simply threw all of his dirty clothes on the floor in the corner of his room to take home at the end of the semester. And unfortunately, it became rather evident that he didn't actually possess 100 pairs of underwear. College and graduate studies provide plenty of opportunities to be curious, but there are some things you just don't want to know. We are like a university like no other in these simple and more substantive ways. There are 5 Mennonite colleges in the U.S., and EMU is the only one that includes a seminary, a Center for Justice and Peace Building, a Center for Interfaith Engagement, and with the advent of the new MA in biomedicine this fall, a total of 7 master's degrees offered. We are a Christian university that openly claims our faith tradition. Even as we seek to be a place of conversation and hospitality for those who make other faith commitments or none. And like very few other Christian colleges, we are deeply concerned about caring for God's creation and do not believe that environmentalism or sustainability should be politicized. It is our perspective that deep faith and good science can not only coexist, but are both expressions of being created in God's image with intellectual curiosity. Most of us could say it this way: the Bible speaks to the why of creation, science speaks to the how questions, and when we inappropriately look to the Bible for answers to the how questions or vice versa, we get into territory that is intellectually and theologically indefensible. The tag is a Christian university like no other. But if we could find a soundbite way to say it, we might be more comfortable saying we are a followers of Jesus university like no other. As David Kinnaman and Gabe Lyons noted in their book, Unchristian, many people in our society and around the world are understandably suspicious of Christianity because of the negative experiences they've had with too many who claim to be Christians. And they found in their research that for many people, particularly young adults, Christians no longer represent what Jesus intended, that Christianity in our society is not what it was meant to be, and they have a hard time actually seeing Jesus because of all the negative baggage that now surrounds him. And as one person from Mississippi was quoted in their book, Christianity has become bloated with blind followers who would rather repeat slogans than actually feel true compassion and care. Christianity has become marketed and streamlined into a juggernaut of fear-mongering that has lost its heart. I wish I could write that off as just another cynical person who wants to label people of faith as hypocrites. But I think we cannot allow ourselves to be that defensive and dismissive. Our particular faith tradition, as those who seek to be followers of Jesus in both his life and teachings, makes the particular claim that as citizens of God's kingdom, we will seek to live into the biblical vision of shalom, and we dare to believe that nonviolence is a viable strategy for daily living. But while it is not a pie-in-the-sky dream, we have to acknowledge that it is not always effective in the short term, and it definitely is not a strategy for the weak. Indeed, EMU alumnus and last fall's Distinguished Service Awardee Glenn Lapp found that a nonviolent approach to life can lead to death. So it was for Jesus. If you want to know what is the most important value in a person's life, ask whether he or she is willing to sacrifice his or her life for that value. We are well aware that not all members of this campus community share some of our core commitments. Ironically, some of the most difficult conflicts, both interpersonally and internationally, are rooted in strongly held religious convictions. Indeed, one of the most significant ways we are like no other is that we actually celebrate diversity and vigorous debate. And we honor the other's dignity and humanity when we respectfully and fully engage, not when we assume we all think alike or even hold that as our desired outcome. And the fact is that in some ways, life on this campus, a university like no other, would be easier if we declared some issues off limits from debate and conversation. And I can assure you that life for the president would be considerably less stressful, maybe even boring, but more predictable and much less time consuming. But here's how I see it. Every single one of us on this campus is making serious investments, either by tuition payments or sacrificing by way of lesser compensation than our peers in other institutions. And it would be unethical for us to accept your tuition payments for simple dissemination of information. For that, you can listen to podcasts and mass lectures or surf the internet. Our promise is that for your tuition payments, you will have every opportunity to become a truly educated person, one who will be prepared to serve and lead in a global context. And we will fulfill that promise by seeking to be like no other. I noted a moment ago that our conversations can be challenging and even conflictual. Our vision is that they will be respectful and constructive, vigorous but calm, passionate but not destructive of the other. And in that spirit, I close with a poem by Derek Carpenter, quoted in the book Flourish by Martin Seligman. And it was shared with me earlier this summer by Dr. Vi Dutcher, Chair of Language and Literature. I came upon a crossroads where I sought only shelter for a brief time, but as I lay down my sack and kicked off my shoes, I noticed that this crossroads was like no other I had found. The air in this place held an inviting warmth, and a vibrancy permeated all things. As I introduced myself to the travelers here, I felt no hesitation or discouragement, but sincerity and optimism in their place. In their eyes, I saw something I could not name, but that felt very much like home. In this place, together, we shared and encouraged and rejoiced in the abundance of life. May it be so. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Deirdre Smeltzer. I'm serving as the Director of Cross-Cultural Programs here at EMU. And I'm pleased to introduce to you the two groups that are going to be leaving today for the fall cross-culturals. I'll ask the New Zealand participants to come and gather over here on my right side on the steps in front of the stage, and the South African Lesotho group can gather over here on my left side as I introduce you. Dr. Jim Yoder of the Biology Department is the faculty leader for the New Zealand group. Dr. Yoder has teaching and research expertise in landscape and conservation ecology, which has helped shape the focus for this cross-cultural trip. Dr. Yoder will be assisted by his wife, Kathy, and accompanied by their sons, Theodore and Tobias. Jim and Kathy previously led a cross-cultural trip to New Zealand in 2010. In addition, the Yoders are both EMU grads, and as such, they are former student participants in an EMU cross-cultural trip led by Jan Peggy Landis, which left for the British Isles exactly 20 years ago. Harlan de Bruin of the Physical Education Department is the faculty leader for the South Africa and Lesotho group. Professor de Bruin has extensive experience living and leading programs in this particular region of Africa. Within recent years, he led fall semester EMU groups to South Africa in 2007, 2009, and 2011. This may be the final EMU cross-cultural trip led by Professor de Bruin, as he and his wife will begin an MCC term shortly after the conclusion of this cross-cultural trip, serving in a rural village in Lesotho. Professor de Bruin will be assisted by two recent EMU alums, Danae Fugley and Kelsey Yoder. As students, Kelsey and Danae both traveled to South Africa with Professor de Bruin with his 2009 cross-cultural group. Both of these groups of students and leaders will depart today. They'll be gathering at noon in the layman circle just outside of this auditorium to load the bus. The departure time for Dulles Airport is 12:15, so you're all invited to come and send them off at that time. Associate Pastor Byron Peachy will lead us in a prayer for the members of these two groups.
And I invite those of you who would like to come forward and surround each of these groups on the sides to do so. Let us pray. Creator God of the mountains and the valley and of this beautiful, fragile earth, we pray for your blessing on all these students and their leaders, people who we know and love. We pray that on their journey, your Spirit be with them every step of the way. May you open their eyes to all that they see, open their hearts to the people they meet and learn to know, open their minds to the complexity of the worlds they are entering, and may they discover your presence in South Africa, Lesotho, and in New Zealand. We acknowledge the profound opportunity we have as travelers and as students, and we're grateful for their courage to risk stepping out of what is often a comfortable home here at EMU, into places in the world where we experience the challenges of new language, new culture, new ways of worship and of living. We ask for your comforting presence to be with them in moments of loneliness, in moments of fear or anxiety, and also in times of joy and discovery about others and about themselves. We especially ask that you keep them safe and out of harm's way. And we especially pray for Harlan, Danae, and Kelsey, for Jim and Kathy and their two boys. Give them wisdom, clarity of mind and purpose, and a sense of humor and grace when things don't go quite how they've planned. And we here who remain, parents, family, our EMU community, we commit to holding all of you in prayer for these next 3.5 months. We join together in prayer for this EMU community and give you thanks for all the ways we are able to demonstrate love for one another, whether we are near or far. O Spirit, you who know our waking up and our lying down, we ask for peace, gentleness, and curiosity for each new day. Amen.